This is the Jeff Horovitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right, busy show. Representative Ben Thoma, give us a legislative update. Councilwoman Regina Salas on the Flagstaff Green New Deal. Jeff Horovitz Show starts now. Well, I call it the Flagstaff Green New Deal because, man, it just really reflects or mirrors a lot of the stuff that the Green New Deal, like from Ocasio-Cortez, does. And you're seeing this stuff seep into local communities. So everyone should listen to this. And this is a very busy and hopefully informative show here today with Flagstaff City Councilwoman Regina Salas coming up. Going to talk about this climate initiative or this going carbon neutral in Flagstaff by 2030, just 9 years away. And I think this is going to have huge impacts on other cities that will watch this as possibly a model. I call it just, this is a lot of unicorn stuff here. And I think my guest who's going to be coming up this hour, Councilwoman Regina Salas, may share a similar viewpoint and some real concerns here about a meeting that's happening tomorrow night in Flagstaff to go carbon neutral, to require homes to be certain amount of homes to be retrofitted, carbon neutrality, all of this stuff, electrification, which I don't have a problem with as long as it makes sense. And we don't have a thing like Texas where if the power goes out, you don't have heat. So it's pretty important to watch this stuff. So Councilwoman Regina Salas will be coming up. I'll fill you in as best I can as to what this plan is. But anyway, welcome. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. Hope you all had a great weekend. I had a good weekend. I speaking of energy sources, I had to actually stoke up a fire last night. Flagstaff and most areas, everywhere was cooler, but in the high country, it was in the mid-20s in a lot of places. This happens all the time. You see, people get all excited, especially if you're new to the area and it starts warming up in May, and then you get the flowers out. And I got to be honest, we have flowers out, but they're in pots so we can bring them in because we know this is going to happen. Then you get that garden going. And then it's 25 degrees and zaps everything. Can't plant in places like Flagstaff until unless you got it covered or protected until at least June 1st coming up here. And then hopefully it's safe. You never know. You never know though around here, but I'd love to hear from you. The Just Wireless, and thanks to our friends at Just Wireless, we can get your cell phone, your smart device, your tablet, your gaming console repaired. They've got their great drop-off location in East Flagstaff across from the Flagstaff Mall. You can repair these devices, but they sponsor our listener line, the Just Wireless listener line, 877-971-3971. You can text or call today, 877-971-3971. This is one of those leave your comment days and text your comments, and I'll get them probably towards the end of the show. Tomorrow, Tuesday and Wednesday, we'll have open lines. I will have Olivia standing by tomorrow to take your calls, and Wednesday. Bruce Sidlinger will be with me tomorrow. And, we always have a good time when Bruce is here. Wednesday, Mark Howitt. By the way, tomorrow also, along with Bruce Sidlinger, just a show note, we are going to have, we're expecting Congressman, the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, who's at the border today, Congressman Andy Biggs. A lot of you have asked me questions by text and email about the coronavirus, the origins of the coronavirus now coming under light more and more. And Congressman Biggs has been pretty up on this, so he's going to talk about that tomorrow is the plan. And I think on Thursday, Congressman Paul Gosar is also going to be chiming in on that as well on the program. So one of those weeks, one of those extremely busy weeks. Anyway, 877-971-3971. Text or call, 877-971-3971. Here's the show order. Let's do some of these some of the legislative update, the bills that are making it through the legislature, some Arizona news items I'm going to hit on. And then I think we'll get to some travel things, more and more things coming out on the vaccine passports and things like that. Then Regina Salas, and then at 5 o'clock hour, expecting Representative Ben Thoma to give us a legislative update on the budget down there. But apparently NAU, Northern Arizona University, is supposed to get something like $66 million from the federal money. So a lot of money pouring in to the universities, and the Fed money continues to pour in from all the stimulus. So that's happening. I was reading in the Daily Sun that the push to continue to get rid of the name Agassi, you know, a lot of things were named Agassi in not only Flagstaff, but many places. the Flagstaff City Council, they recently renamed Agassiz Street in downtown. I don't know what they changed it to, but they changed that. But now a group of Flagstaff High School students are publicly calling on for the renaming of the Peaks, because there's, you know, the Peaks, there's Agassiz Peak. I think Agassiz is the second highest peak in Arizona. There's Humphreys and then there's Agassiz. They presented their case last Tuesday at the council meeting, and the students are asking for now the Flagstaff Commission on Diversity Awareness to support the movement, which is to rename Agassiz Peak. They said because the person that was named after Agassiz, who's a famous person, had racist roots or something like that. So continue to push to rename things, continues to go on locally and around the country. This one you got to watch. And I know a lot of you have emailed Senator Kyrsten Sinema and Senator Mark Kelly to not end the filibuster. And I told you that this was a very important thing to do. I had guests on urging all of you to email your senators. I would suggest that you keep doing that. And you can Google Senator Sinema, Senator Kelly, and the email address or the phone number comes up right there in a Google search or whatever the heck you're using. It's very easy to find. And I would suggest you email them that they don't end the filibuster, because state Democratic leaders have now voted at their annual meeting or whatever that is, to urge Sinema and Kelly to end the filibuster. Taran is her name, the party leader. She was quoted in the Arizona Republic. We need to make sure that every option is on the table to make sure that we get Joe Biden's agenda passed. So keep that in mind. So they want to end that filibuster. There's tremendous pressure. I don't know about Senator Kelly. Never had any interaction with him. I do know that Senator Sinema will once in a while bend to these things and has somewhat of an independent mind of her own. She's shown that over time. So an email to her urging not to end the filibuster, because they want to end the filibuster because they want to get in the green. We're going to talk about with Councilwoman Regina Salas, the Flagstaff Green New Deal. Well, they'd like to do this nationally. So that's important. Plus, they would have universal basic income and all that stuff coming up. So emailing them is very important. This is an interesting one that passed last week that the governor signed. This is from 3TV. Arizona restaurants, bars, and liquor stores are now allowed to sell cocktails to go. I knew that during COVID when they were allowed to just do this. I think I said it on this program here a year ago, that the delivery of liquor, once that genie's out of the bottle, you ain't going to get back in. So now Governor Ducey on Friday signed a bill that will allow restaurants, bars, and liquor stores to sell cocktails to go. And not everyone's happy about this, especially if you've already bought the more expensive Series 6 liquor license. If you're a place, and our friend over at Starlight Lanes in Flagstaff, Ron, you know, he came on the program and talked about this. There's people that have bought this expensive Series 6 license. There's actually a quote here from a Steve McDonald, owner of Social Tap in Old Town Scottsdale. Says a Series 6 is about $100,000 or more, and a Series 12 is $2,000. It's pretty much so the people that are doing the to-go ones are allowed to do it on the cheaper license. So what the state's doing now is they're saying that states or restaurants and liquor stores who have already gotten the Series 6, well, they're going to put some of the money from this new program to sell the to-go things into a fund to compensate the bar owners and grocery store owners who already spent all this money. And then they're going to do a lottery to distribute that money. So not everybody's going to get it. So here we go again. You had heavy regulation that somebody was spending $100,000 for, and now all of a sudden it's gone. So the value of that license is kaput. So I get why they're angry about it. But I also am for less regulation, but maybe make these people whole who have spent all this money. Try to get somebody on who's a little more knowledgeable than I am on this one, but it doesn't seem like a fair deal if you've spent all that money. Let's move on to some travel issues. And text or call anytime, and I'll try to get your text and your messages on the Just Wireless listener line. Try to get them on here later in the program, so get those in now. 877-971-3971. This is an interesting article from The Indian Express says summer travel will require picking your way through a maze of border rules. And they're talking about how there's going to be the vaccine passports needed if you want to travel anywhere over there. But it seems like every country within the block is quite a bit different. This past week, UK reversed a ban on international leisure travel while installing a traffic light system that ratchets up the costs and hassles of a trip based on risk. For now, Portugal stands alone among major countries that are both green-lit and welcome for Brits. This is a British, or maybe this is an Indian, India, the country, news organization. So focusing on Britain. But the European Union is moving ahead with a plan to facilitate free travel within the bloc for those who have been vaccinated, recover, or tested positive for coronavirus. So if you want to travel, you're probably going to have to get the vaccine passport. They're talking about the applications here, various applications that you have on your phone. I started thinking about this. Maybe still figuring out what to do with my kids to pivot here a little bit to just the vaccine issue or the vax passport in general. I was thinking about my kids in school next year, and what if we don't get them vaccinated? Are the schools going to start having, because they're talking about, hey, you don't have to wear a mask if you get vaccinated in certain places. Oregon was talking about this. So with my kids in school, is it going to come to a point where if they're not vaccinated, they have to still wear the mask? And it's just kind of, then they're the ones that are signaled out as, hey, there's the unvaccinated ones. I don't know, just food for thought here, how we're dividing and segregating things up. Maybe the dogs will help, though. There's a study that shows that dogs can detect COVID-positive arrivals, article from MSN. Dogs can be trained to detect more than 90% of COVID-19 infections, even when patients are asymptomatic, according to research published Monday. So they're talking about possibly using dogs to sniff out the COVID, I guess, when you arrive at an airport or something, as if it wasn't hellish enough to travel. Now you have to go through a dog search, I guess. Japan is pondering zero spectator Olympics. Outbreak going on in Japan right now. Article from Newsmax here. There's all these, this call in Japan to cancel the Olympics, which is basically next month, weeks away now, saying possibly no spectators. There's a public push within Japan to ban it outright. U.S. is saying don't travel to Japan. So round and round we go here. Maybe we won't have the Olympics. Let's see, what else do we got here? Let's switch to the economy before we get set up to go to Councilwoman Regina Salas here in a little bit, and Representative Ben Toma coming up, give us a legislative update. The crypto crash has continued. I was looking at this Market Watch article, and I kind of warned about this for a long time, and crypto has finally taken a huge hit. Still up for the year for a lot of these, but it's gone down a bunch, especially Bitcoin. It was toying around in the mid 30,000 range here for a while. Now continued push by governments to regulate it even more, IRS crackdowns, things like that on transactions. So crypto definitely in the crosshairs right now. Ethereum went down a bunch, and that Dogecoin went down a bunch as well. Some more news on inflation. Meat eaters hit hardest as inflation sweeps U.S. grocery aisles. This is from Bloomberg. Talking about the inflation, and I was talking about this just, a week or two ago, saying that it's natural when you get into an inflationary cycle like we're in, it's natural for people to start picking up extra, because when your mind is that what I've bought the last 2 times, 5 times, 10 times, or whatever, each time I go to the store, it seems like it's more. So eventually, in an inflationary cycle like I think we are in, although they say it may be transitory, we'll see. but when you're in that cycle, it's a natural instinct to say, hey, instead of getting one pack of beef ribeyes or whatever you want to get, I'm going to get two, because next time I come, it might be more expensive. And I think that's happening. So people are stocking up. They're talking about inflation landing in refrigerators across America here in this Bloomberg article, and hitting meat eaters most of all. About 1 in 3 U.S. adults say they're spending more on groceries than they were at the start of 2021, according to a Morning Consult survey of 2,200 U.S. adults conducted May 17th to the 19th for Bloomberg News. Red meat was the ingredient cited most often for its higher prices, with chicken right behind. Food inflation has been inching up for months, driven by soaring commodity costs, costlier transportation, and challenges securing labor. rising demand for meat from home cooks, as well as from the booming fast food industry, has buoyed prices too. Yeah, and a lot more people are eating at home, by the way, too. Their fast food's cranking too. But a lot more people are eating and have discovered that you can actually cook food at home. And it's actually pretty dang good versus going out, and it's still a lot cheaper as well. All right, folks, love your comments. Go ahead and chime in on the Just Wireless listener line, 877-971-3971, 877-971-3971. Hey, do me a favor. Don't forget, I haven't mentioned this in past couple shows much, please subscribe to the podcast. In case you miss any of the program, you can get caught up. We timestamp everything, so you know we put, hey, from 15 minutes to 25 minutes, this guest was on. For example, the interview we're going to do with Councilwoman Regina Salas. We'll put it in there so you can actually go to the podcast, listen to the parts you may have missed or want to re-listen to. So go to talkwithjeff.com, click on how to listen right on the top, talkwithjeff.com, how to listen, and then click on your link for your favorite podcast provider, like iTunes, Spotify, which other ones? Google Music or Amazon Music. Amazon Music, they're all there. They're listed. And then you follow that and you just click subscribe or like or whatever they ask you to do. I'd appreciate it if you do that. Talkwithjeff.com. Talkwithjeff.com. Hang tight. Back in a minute. Keep getting lots of text messages regarding the real estate market. I'm working on bringing in a realtor here later in the week to talk about how crazy it's gotten. I've spoken with you. I feel like we've given you tons of information on this, but the questions, and you can text these in as well, is, you know, how do I've got like four or five here. I sum them up all together. And you can text 877-971-3971. If you do that now and throughout the program, I will try to get them on today's show. So text or call the Just Wireless listener line, the text line, 877-971-3971. But if I could encapsulate the questions, it's basically, how do I get into this market? And to that, I'd say you got to be real careful. And you got to say, do I want to get into this market? And I'd give no advice here, but it is quite high right now. And what you're seeing is a lot of people that they may sell a place and they're making such profit that they can afford to gobble something up in other communities. This is happening. We had calls in last week from Cornville and Cottonwood about people from out of state who are coming in and they're selling things for a couple million bucks, and then they're able to buy in your market for $400,000 or $500,000. It's like, well, that's nothing. That's an extra home. That's all it is. And it sucks for the local markets, but it's happening in Arizona too. If you sell in Flagstaff, there's people going to other areas with that extra cash. And what are the big things? Before I move on, the advice is just be careful. I gave this advice on Friday, and I know maybe some people don't listen on Friday. That's why you got to go back to the podcast on talkwithjeff.com and subscribe to that. But I said, just, you got to be cautious. And one way that I've invested in, this is just me, I just talk for myself here, but I've invested in real estate by finding the cheapest, most scuffed up looking place on the block that's structurally sound, that has potential. You know, the 1500 square foot house in the neighborhood that has 2500 square foot homes, for example, or the house that's painted bright pink outside that nobody wants to touch, but all you got to do is repaint it. You got to look for those gems, and it's tough though. I'm not going to lie to you. This is a very, very, very tough market. Now, I see that the government, because the government always tries to fix problems, and oftentimes when they try to fix a problem, it makes the problem worse. I mean, really, the symptom of the real estate increases the past year, or the outcome of the real estate market the past couple of years, has come from the government shutting people down, and the COVID hysteria that's happened has forced people to not want to be in big cities and not want to be crowded around. So they're moving to smaller communities. Add to that rioting and looting that happens in these big cities, and voila, you've got an inflated and overheated real estate market. But that doesn't mean it's going to stop. Who the heck knows? Who knows? It could crash tomorrow. It could keep going up. I have no idea. And anyone that says they do, they're full of it. They're absolutely full of it. That's one thing I've learned over the years. But anyway, you get the government steps in and they try to fix the imbalances. We're going to talk with Regina Salas, council member for Flagstaff, next segment, about what I think is going to be the government causing greater imbalances and distortion. Let's call them distortions in the marketplace. In Flagstaff, they've already done that to a great deal, because what they've done is they've created all kinds of preservation projects, so you can only cut down a certain amount of trees on the lot, and you save your email about cutting down the trees. I don't need to hear it. But they're saying, you know, it's like 50% of the trees have to be preserved. Well, that means you can only develop on 50% of the lot. Oh, and then you got to retain the water, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. Well, add to it the Flagstaff Green New Deal, which we'll talk about next, and you have to be certain amount of solar, you have to do this, you have to, your power can't come from natural gas. Or seriously, they're talking about ending the ability in some situations to use natural gas, retrofitting homes, and on and on. Let me ask you this. Is that going to A, make the cost of housing more, or B, less? And I would argue it's going to all make the cost of housing in an already very expensive place a lot more. Now, they will counter-argue that, but you're going to save on utilities. Yeah, but I may not even be able to get into that house or the market in the first place. If you raise the price so much, I might not qualify for the mortgage, especially if we get into a rising interest rate environment, which is where we're heading at some point. Some point. Who knows? Again, who knows when? I was refinancing things 5 years ago thinking we were going to get into higher interest rates. So anyway, yeah, you just higher and higher costs. Now, the government's also getting into... And I thank Ron, again, I mentioned him last segment from over at Starlight Lanes, who knows this stuff about finance and stuff, and always enjoy talking with him, and I enjoy all your comments. Keep those coming. He sent me an article from Bloomberg.com regarding the government, the Biden administration, targeting what they called, here's the headline, Biden targets $41 billion tax break for rich real estate investors. U.S. president wants to cut back a tax break that allows investors to keep buying and selling properties without paying capital gains. You read that headline and you think, well, I sell my property, I got to pay capital gains. No, what they're talking about is what's called a 1031 like-kind exchange. Now, I've never personally used it, although I've looked into this, because my assumption is that in the future, I'm going to pay a lot higher taxes than now, so I'd rather pay the capital gains rate right now, because I think it's going to do nothing but go up down the line. But what this allows people to do is they say they sell a property. Let's try to keep this simple. They sell property A for $1 million and they reinvest the profits. So over the amount they originally put into it, let's just say it's $1 million. Let's say they had zero into it. They invest $1 million, $1 million, $1,000,001 into a new property. So it has to be a like property, and it has to be, you have to roll that money into a property that's as much or more, basically. Basically, keeping this real high level here. So he wants to target that, and calling it the rich people are using this to shelter it, and they want to go after it, according to this article, taking aim at real estate investors using to buy and sell properties without having to pay capital gains. U.S. president's new economic plan calls for abolishing the right to defer certain tax payments on property. That's the key there. You're deferring the taxes on over $500,000, part of a broader effort to raise taxes on the rich to pay for the expansion of several services, including free preschool to less wealthy Americans. Well, let me ask you this. If they eliminate the 1031 exchange, where you can defer your taxes down the line, now you're supposed to pay for the taxes later, what are people going to do who are used to doing this and like, I don't want to pay the capital gains? They just won't sell the property. They'll keep an existing property. I know if I was looking at this, I would say, I'm just going to keep the property because I do not want to pay the capital gains, because they're going to raise the capital gains a bunch. Let's say they raise the capital gains up to, they've talked about raising it up to the income tax level. So let's say you're paying 30, 40% in the future on capital gains on a productive multifamily property or an office building. Well, you're just not going to sell it. And maybe you'll just keep it and say, oh, I'll just borrow some money out of it and pay back the loan. The loan, as of right now, maybe they'll change this, is tax-free. So again, I ask the question. When the government does something like this, does it A, make the cost of housing more or less? And I think right here is a perfect example of how they're going to make the cost of housing even more, because people just will decide not to sell it. All right, coming back with Flagstaff Councilwoman Regina Salas, the Flagstaff Green New Deal. All All right, welcome back. I've been watching this one for quite a while, and I gave you some info earlier. The official name is, well, I keep calling it the Flagstaff Green New Deal. I'm sure that it has a different name here. The Carbon Neutrality Plan is the official name. And the Flagstaff City Council is discussing this at tomorrow night's, Tuesday night's Flagstaff City Council meeting. And I mean, we're talking, if you think housing is in a crisis now as far as the cost, my opinion is this is just going to make new homes even more expensive because they're trying to get new homes by 2030, which keep in mind, this is what, less than nine years from now to be net zero energy homes. There's a bunch of details in this thing. And I'm happy to have back on the program to explain some of it. Council member Regina Salas, council member, hey, welcome back to the program. How are you doing today?
Howdy, Jeff, and hello to your listeners on the Jeff Horowitz Show, and thank you for this opportunity to talk about this lofty and costly carbon neutrality plan for Flagstaff.
Yeah, lofty is a good word there, council member. 107-page carbon neutrality plan, discussing it Tuesday night. You were telling me off air, it originally was maybe going to be voted on here soon, but now you're trying to get this pushed back a little bit. We'll get to that, Regina. Can you give me some bullet points here? What are some of the concerns you're seeing in this plan for the residents, the business owners, you know, the folks of Flagstaff?
Yes, first and foremost, the plan lacks discussion on water, and it doesn't take into account the carbon emissions through the train and I-40 and I-70.
Okay.
And then it totally calls for full electrification, demonizing and eliminating gas.
So like
gas on your homes,
so like
and
natural,
buildings.
Natural and, gas, for example.
Yes.
Okay.
And we have Unisource just renewed their franchise last year. And they haven't been involved and consulted on this plan. Then second, this plan lacks community, the business community input. That's why I reach out to organizations like the Greater Flagstaff Chamber of Commerce and the Northern Arizona Leadership Alliance, which is the organization of over 40 CEOs and presidents of top employers in the region. And they want to conduct a business summit toward the end of June. Let me break it down, Jeff. This carbon neutrality plan is ambitious and expensive, as I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It calls for 12,500 homes in retrofits.
Now, can you say how many was that, Regina? Cut out there for a second.
12,500 homes,
wow.
Existing homes, will be retrofitted to reduce energy use and electrify homes.
Okay, so let me start with that because, as you know, Councilwoman, we have a heck of a housing crisis. We had a heck of a housing crisis a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, way back, decades. And for Flagstaff, as do many northern Arizona communities. Then you fast forward through COVID and everyone wants to live in rural areas. There's no inventory. And I pulled the listings last week and there was like 26 homes, single family detached, under $1 million in the city of Flagstaff.
Yes.
So no inventory. It's crazy. Good luck finding something for $400,000, $500,000, $600,000. So you're saying this plan, the carbon neutrality plan, In 9 years, if it's passed, they want to retrofit 12,500 existing homes. What does that mean? Switching appliances from natural gas to electric, more insulation. And what's a retrofit?
Retrofit, it's getting rid of gas and switching to electric, fully electric, and net zero, and solar, and then solar panels, and all of that good stuff.
Okay. Who's going to pay? I mean, that's got to be many thousands.
Oh, big question. I'll talk about the cost in a minute here, but let me also, for commercial buildings, will be 25% of all commercial buildings will be energy efficient retrofit, and 15% of commercial buildings will be fully electrified.
Okay. Let me ask you about that, because as a commercial building owner in the community, myself, my company, I have not heard, been reached out to by anybody about this plan, except for you. Thank you. You reached out, but as far as the city, sustainability, et cetera, nobody said anything. So, okay, let's say I have a building and it's currently heated by natural gas, and maybe it's an older building. Are they going to force me to retrofit it? Is there going to be incentives? How do they make this happen?
Well, incentives haven't been discussed yet. It's mentioned, but the cost would be at the recent budget retreat 3 weeks ago. The wish list for this, the carbon neutrality plan, is almost $200 million. Yeah.
Wow.
And the potential ballot measure for the November 2022 election is pegged at $92.1 million.
Would this be a sales tax or a property tax? What's the revenue source with the?
It's a wish list. I don't know, but it's, you know, the tag price is $92.1 million for carbon neutrality, which will be passed on to taxpayers in one way or another.
Yeah.
If it goes in the ballot.
Okay.
And yes, and not to mention the cost of if you are a homeowner or a commercial property owner, if you voluntarily go to solar, for example, and retrofit, what's that direct cost to you as a property owner? And there has been no discussion about incentives for business
and
owners and property owners.
And Councilwoman, I have no problem if people, a building owner, a private residence wants to go solar, wants to be 100% carbon neutral, but you know, they have to decide that on their own, if it's something they want to do, if it's affordable, if it's economical for them to do, if it makes sense as a business owner. But it sounds like here that this goal is, this plan is so lofty, they want to begin fuel switching, like I said, from natural gas, to encourage new buildings to rely on the electric grid as their main power source. And they also want to require new homes by 2030 in Flagstaff to be net zero energy homes. Has there been any talk of, and I got to be honest, 107 page plan here, I can't read it all, honestly. Is there anything in there or any talk of cost models? So if I build a new home, does it cost $5 more, $5,000 more? Do they know this number?
And that was my big question, Jeff, March 9th, when the draft carbon neutrality plan first came to council. And I asked staff, okay, I want to see a new column and added to the strategies, and the column that has the dollar amount. I'm very mindful of the cost of this plan, cost to business, cost to residents, cost to property owners.
Mm-hmm.
And that hasn't been addressed. It's been addressed in that wish list of $200 million, as I mentioned earlier, and a potential ballot measure in 2022 for $92.1 million. Third, the plan did not even mention existing sustainable efforts that homeowners and businesses are engaging in, you know, like water conservation, being solar, or reducing single-use plastic, or not washing linens and towels every day. And you have, if you have a major employer like Gore who's concerned about this plan, and they have a lot of sustainable efforts, but their buildings are over 50 years old.
Sure.
And you're going to require them to fully electrify. How much would that cost?
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And folks, we're talking with the Flagstaff City Councilwoman Regina Salas. I want to raise another concern that I don't know if they have addressed or will be addressed. Again, no problem with electrification if it makes sense, but there could be some strategic risks if we look at what happened in Texas here just a couple months ago with the grid. And all of the sudden, I think most of us have natural gas appliances or maybe a hot water heater or a stove, but the heat system, a lot of folks are natural gas. Now look, I have a wood stove in my house. I actually had to fire it up last night, Regina, because it was so cold, which is what happens sometimes.
Yeah, we got a 32 degrees last night. Yeah,
exactly. But I have that as I like to go out and cut firewood, and I feel like I'm helping thin the forest a little bit and get rid of some of that wood. So who knows if there'll be a push. I've seen pushes in the past to eliminate wood-burning stoves, but I look at that as a natural or a local source of heat, for example. But my point I'm trying to get at here, Regina, is I have a backup. So if there's a power outage or whatever happens, I can still fire up my wood stove. Now, to a large degree, I guess a lot of the furnaces, obviously, they're going to require natural gas, requires electric. But a lot of oven ranges and stuff, you could still cook at least with natural gas. I guess my point is, have they looked at the considerations on the grid and everything's electrified, and then there's, you know, you have no redundancy. You have no backup plan.
Yeah, there's no conversation about that. It says, you know, partner with APS and you know, the co-op for solar. And the plan does not have specific recommendation for that. And this plan also indicates 2,000 home solar systems by 2030.
So 2,000 homes just running purely on solar?
Yes.
Okay. New or retrofit or combination?
It just says 2,000 home solar systems are installed for 10 megawatt in power from residential solar.
Okay. Councilwoman, yes. I think what we should do, I think that what you're urging and what I'm going to urge as well is slow down. Because you're doing something so ambitious here and feel good, 107-page carbon neutrality plan with all kinds of question marks. And I, as a citizen of Flagstaff, as a business owner, I haven't weighed in, and most people probably haven't. It's been a crazy year, and you're throwing, and I'm not saying you, I'm saying certain council members and sustainability, you're throwing this at us at a time when, quite honestly, we can't even go talk to you in person, face-to-face at a council meeting. So I'd say there's so many, and let me get, if you agree with this, slow down and step this thing back and take this a lot further out and get the community involved.
Yes, slow down and be realistic and pragmatic and have a business community involved. And I'm going to give a shout out to our business community. And if you're a member of the Greater Flagstaff Chamber of Commerce and ECONA, the Economic Collaborative of Northern Arizona and NALA, please reach out to your leadership and have your voice heard as business owner and weigh in. We want a pragmatic and realistic plan. And also me as a strong voice for a business, I don't want to pass the burden of cost of this lofty and costly carbon neutrality plan to our residents, our property owners, our taxpayers, and our business owners.
Sure.
And the plan is not even doesn't even take into account, you know, federal or state funding support. So we are doing this, embarking on this plan without state and federal funding support.
Yeah. Okay. So slow it on down. And folks, you can email the council. There's a catch-all that goes to all the council members, council@flagstaffaz.gov, council@flagstaffaz.gov. For those of you listening back to the podcast, I'll put it in the show notes. I think it's important to basically send a message of slow down. What is this thing? And we need more inputs because, man, I look at it and I'm thinking unicorns here and just way amount of fluff, but very expensive. But also, Regina, things that they haven't even anticipated, which is older existing properties, they may not be able to, and I hope that's the case, force the property owners to do this legally with statewide laws and restrictions. And what does that do to the cost of building a new building versus an old building? And all of a sudden, if you're holding on to an older building, I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. Unanswered questions on all of this stuff. So let's slow it on down. Before I let you go, Councilwoman, what is the status? Because most people have gotten back to in-person. And this is a big problem, I think, and one of the things I already alluded to, which is I can't come see you guys if I wanted to and voice my concerns in that intimate, more face-to-face. And by face-to-face, I mean you're on a dais and people are still 25 feet away. I think we're missing that connection, that our representatives are missing the connection. What's the plan here? Do you hear anything about getting back to normal order when it comes to council meetings?
Well, tonight is the first, Tuesday night, the 25th meeting. Council will discuss the probably rescinding the mask proclamation.
Oh, okay.
And that will be a good segue for a discussion of in-person meeting. It is my hope that we will be able to get back to in-person council meeting after the summer break.
Okay.
It's
quite a ways off still. Okay. Well, Councilwoman,
yeah. But, hey,
go ahead.
Seth.
Yeah, go ahead.
Seth, may I just let you know and your listeners know that they can reach me directly to my cell phone.
Okay. That's your call.
Can I have that number?
Yeah, if you want it, if you're brave, give it out. I don't even give out mine, but
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's easy. It's 928-714-6810.
6810 928-714-6810.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good because people really feel the lack of connection with their, like I said, elective representatives. So I appreciate you coming on now and in the past, and I appreciate you giving out that number. I mean, folks, you don't get that from a lot of folks. So I think everyone should get involved with this because, Regina, this has the this could potentially be a disaster for Flagstaff. The way it's I see it right now with so many unanswered questions and maybe we'll get you back on, get an update after you have your meeting tomorrow night with this issue and then getting back to regular order. I call for getting folks back to these council meetings, the constituents able to see you face to face and talk with you ASAP. I would do it right now, but let me know how that turns out. Regina, hey, appreciate it, Councilwoman.
Thank you. Always thankful to be on your show, Jeff. Be well.
All right, folks. Yeah, and I think it's well worth an email, council@flagstaffaz.gov. Let's come back with Fox News and then top of the hour. We're going to see if we can connect with Representative Ben Toma, get you an update, legislative update, and see what's going on down there at the Capitol, plus still a bunch of more news items. Comments, 877-971-3971. Text or call. Try to get them on in the next couple segments. 877-971-3971. Text or call. Back in a few minutes.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right, let's get a legislative update from Representative Ben Toma, plus get to some of your comments. Another hour of the show starts now. All right, welcome back, and as always, happy to be here with you. I would love your comments. I'm going to try to get to some of them. I actually have one here from last hour that I'll get to from Dan regarding 1031 tax exchanges. I know. Don't get too excited. No, but I think I tried to make a point last hour about how government does things to try to get the rich guy, make everything equitable, and the very thing they do, they try to go after the rich people, and it has the exact opposite effect. It impacts the people that they're actually trying to help more. I'm going to get to it. Hang on. Just wait, because this really irritates me when you get this intervention and it's just the unintended consequences of what government does and how they try to go after people is ridiculous. But anyway, if you got a comment, love to hear from you. You can text or call the Just Wireless listener line, 877-971-3971, 877 877- 971-3971. I have a real funny one here, though. I'll bring in maybe Olivia or Owen would be a good one on this. I like this website called studyfinds.org, and they always have these kind of off-the-wall studies. And there's this one that's on there right now that the headline is Average Person Thinks They Can Survive for 2 Weeks in the Wilderness, but most can't even start a fire. And I talked about this last hour because we actually, you know, we burn wood in our house. I mean, we have a natural gas furnace, but we don't mind cutting wood, and we think we're doing a service for the forests that need to be thinned dramatically. And last night we had to start a fire, May 23rd, last night. Today's May 24th. Maybe we'll have to start another one. And I kind of gave that warning to anyone new to the higher country that don't plant your stuff yet because it'll get zapped. It'll get frozen. But this idea that the average person thinks that they can survive. Are you ready for life as a mountain man or woman? Apparently, the average American thinks they are, even if most can't even start a fire. A new study finds the average American thinks they can survive for 16 days alone in the wilderness. I'm going to call bunk on that. Yeah, they can't. Survey of 2,000 people said they're very confident. But only 14% said they can even identify plants and berries, which would be pretty important. Half, 52%, are confident in their ability to identify different types of plants and trees. I don't know. A lot of these people never even been outside in the trees. But most of these folks are saying that they can't even start a fire. In fact, 77% said their growing appreciation for the outdoors has made them more willing to take sustainable actions. I mean, that's a good thing. You know, a lot more people have gone outdoors this past year. I will say this. If you've never been out there, I've always wanted to go out for a week or two and do that challenge. But I've hunted, I've fished, but I'm nowhere compared to some people who they could literally survive an indefinite amount of time. But if you can't even start a fire, you've got problems. You're not going to be able to survive for 2 weeks out in the wild. I just found it to be an interesting study. On that note, my son Owen, he's been starting fires for years. In the wood stove, but also outside safely. We teach fire safety and all that. Right now, I tell him, don't even touch it outside. Don't do it. And you know, there's restrictions all over the place. But he learned over years it's taken outside how to start a fire. When even when it's dry, that it's complicated. But even when it's wet, how to get certain types of bark and things like that to actually do it. And I mean, he's done a lot of this on his own, just trial and error. But when you're out in the wilderness for 2 weeks, trial and error means dead. So anyway, it'd be good. I'm glad people are interested, though, because I think it's good. It's a good switch in our connected world that people are more and more interested in going out and doing this stuff. Anyway, your comments. Could you survive for 2 weeks or 1 week or even 3 days out in the wild? Honestly, what do you think? That's a good text comment. 877-971-3971. 877-971-3971. All right, let me get to a couple comments before we get to Representative Ben Thoma's interview regarding the legislative session and the budget. Oh, by the way, show note tomorrow, Bruce Sidlinger, we will open up the phone lines for your calls. Olivia will be standing by tomorrow and Wednesday. Tomorrow's Bruce Sidlinger and Congressman Andy Biggs will be calling in as well. I think we're going to hear from Congressman Paul Gosar Thursday. So an extremely busy week to go still. Let me find this here. Okay, so Dan asked by text, how would stopping people from doing 1031s if they didn't sell their property, how would that have any impact on housing prices? Dan, thanks for the comment. Last hour, I read an article to you from Bloomberg Wealth that Biden is targeting the so-called $41 billion tax break for rich real estate investors. It's called the 1031 exchange. And I did this in about 4 minutes. So, I mean, this is a complex subject to hit in 4 minutes. And then I said that if the government gets rid of this, they could actually make it that housing prices are even much more. And I didn't really elaborate, so let me do that real quick. But the 1031 allows, let me explain this real quick again if you weren't listening last hour. It's a tax break. It's a tax deferral mechanism, I guess, let me give you an example. Let's say you bought a property. Let's say you bought a 12-unit apartment building, an investor, for $1 million. And then maybe 20 years later, it's worth $2 million. You decide, I'm tired of dealing with this property. It needs a new owner. I'm done. Whatever the reason is, I want to sell it. I want to move into something else. So you sell it, and the market bears $2 million. So, and seek your own tax advice. This is very broad advice. Don't do a 1031 on my info here. So you sell it for $2 million. So you take $2 million minus $1 million. Your profit, in very simple terms, is $1 million. So normally, you might have to pay $1 million on that tax, on that profit. Maybe it's 20%. Again, very rough estimates here. So $200,000. So you say, I don't want to pay $200,000 to the degenerates in Washington, D.C. that are going to waste my money and redistribute it. I don't know. That's probably what I would think. So you say, you take advantage of the tax code, the 1031 exchange, and you say, okay, I'm going to go find a property that's of greater, I think it's of equal or greater value. It has to be a little bit more than the $2 million, the property. So you go find another property essentially for $2 million. And you roll that money into that property. And it's tax deferred. Now you don't have to pay the $200,000. Now you're going to pay it later, eventually when you sell and you have to recoup all the sales you've done along the way. Your original $1 million investment, say, grows to $20 million or whatever. You're going to have to pay the taxes someday. So it's a tool to build wealth, but it's also a tool for people to keep rolling things into other properties and potentially improving those new properties, investing in communities, maybe investing in downtown areas that are, you know, down and out, whatever. So what I said was that the government may do have the exact opposite impact than they possibly thought of, unintended consequences. Because, okay, now you get rid of, you say, Biden says, hey, let's get rid of this tax break for the rich. Like, he's not rich. Been in office 50 years. He's rich. Anyway, you get rid of this tax deferment type program. So the owner says, wait a second. Okay, I've got a million. Let me draw this out. I got a $2 million property that I bought for $1 million. I've owned it for 20 years. I'm clear and free. So I have a $2 million piece of property clear and free. Let's just say a hypothetical situation. I don't sell it and pay $200,000 in taxes because now you won't let me do the 1031. So I'm just going to keep it. So why I said that it may actually make housing prices go up, or in this place, multifamily apartment prices for that building, it'll go up because there's less supply. So there's less people willing to sell their property and put that on the market for new investors to come in and buy it. If you had 10 apartment buildings for $2 million, if you had 10 apartment buildings for $2 million for sale, probably wouldn't be $2 million because there's more to choose from. If you've got one apartment building available, it's probably going to be worth more because there's less availability, less supply. Look at this past year. I ran the real estate prices last week for Flagstaff. There were only 27 homes available to single family detached under $1 million in Flagstaff for a population of 70,000. So the problem with the market right now is there's no supply and tons of people want to move out of the cities because of COVID, and they realize the lockdowns and oppressive left-leaning cities, and then, you know, throw in a chance of a riot and a looting, and you want to get out of there. So there's even more people looking at less of a supply. So my point was, you have less on the market because this real estate person says, wait a second, why should I sell this property and give Uncle Sam $200,000? I might as well keep it. Why mess with it? There's nothing for sale anyway because nobody else is selling because they don't want to pay the taxes either. So I'll just keep it. And okay, I'm clear and free. I'm just going to go borrow $500,000 against it at the bank. That $500,000, as of right now, is tax-free because it's just a loan. It's a loan against that property. Now, there's all kinds of strings attached to that too, as far as what maybe where you're using that and using it for improvements, this and that, or another property. I mean, again, no tax advice here. But I'm just saying, a smart investor is going to find a way, and there's going to be less housing on the market. It's real simple to me. Anyway, folks, maybe we'll get some tax breaks because we need that here in Arizona to be more competitive. And I do want to welcome back to the program Representative Ben Toma. Here we go. We're getting close to wrapping up the legislative session. Maybe this week that the state has a finalized budget. And I don't know. I don't want to jinx it, but hey, Representative Toma, what do you think?
Well, I'd love to see that happen. So thanks for having me on. Yeah, in terms of the process right now, the current schedule envisions us first reading the budget bills today, a little bit later today, and then we intend to go to committees tomorrow, and during this entire time, we're furiously negotiating to try to make sure we have all 31 Republicans on the budget bill.
Yeah.
And this time around, I think what's important to highlight is that the biggest chunk of the budget by far is the most massive tax cut in the history of the state. And to give your listeners some idea of how big it is, we're talking roughly 15% of our total budget. I can't even imagine a state that hasn't contemplated something that big. I'm not familiar with any, and I don't think any have actually passed it. So it is a truly historic opportunity to get a tax cut, and a good one at that, done this year.
Yeah, and Representative, I mean, you and I have spoken in the past, and I spend a lot of time on taxes and financial matters here on the program. I mean, you're pretty, I hate to use the word flush right now, because if you asked me a year ago, I'd say, man, we're going to be in bad shape in a year. And here we are. The revenues are up. There's also a lot of federal money that came in. But absent that, was there a big increase as far as what's going into the coffers?
You know, that's an open question, because I think there's a lot of confusion. A lot of people think that that the reason we're doing this is because we have all this federal money. But I will tell you that that's not the case. None of what we're talking about envisions use of federal money.
Okay.
You might be familiar with the fact that the feds tried to prevent any sort of tax cut by not allowing any sort of tax cuts to happen if we take any of the federal money. But what we're talking about doesn't include federal money at all. This is just state funds that we're talking about. So in addition to all of the state funds that we have available, just from the last bill alone, there was $4.8 billion that came from the Fed. But that's something that the governor has the authority to appropriate, not the legislature. And so that's for that reason alone, we're not really contemplating or focused on that.
Okay. Yeah, you could consider that more one-time money. I mean, I hope so. I mean, we might be, Representative, we might be living in a world where it's like universal basic income for the individual and the state, but you're looking at just on the statewide, those revenues. So what's the tax cut look like? I've read some stuff on, and I think I had Representative Walt Blackman on a week or two ago, and we talked a little bit about this, but are we talking like trying to go to a flat tax in Arizona, or explain that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. So there's different provisions of it, but really it is the heart of it is to go down to a 2.5% flat tax. So to take our current four brackets, the highest is 4.5, the lowest is 2.59 right now, and to drop them all to 2.5 over 2 years. In addition to that, it takes the assessment ratio down from 18% down to 17% for commercial properties, and the reason for that is that, you know, you look at our neighboring states, and we are actually the highest commercial assessment ratio, commercial property tax. We're higher than California.
No.
And I know a lot of times people don't understand that that's the case. We're actually the same and even slightly higher than Texas. And Texas is high, but Texas is high for residential as well, and they don't have an income tax, so keep that in mind. So on commercial, we're one of the highest in the country, highest in all of our neighboring states. On PPT, on the sales tax side, we've been high historically, and we have one of the higher sales taxes in the states around us. And now, post 208, we're one of the highest income tax states also. So we were just going the wrong direction in Arizona in terms of being competitive and attracting businesses here. And by the way, as a side note, that's why we have all these proposals that come to from time to time to have special program for this company to come here and then for that company to come here, because we have in many ways an uncompetitive tax system for them. And so we give them cutouts and ways for them to not have to pay those taxes. And so part of the benefit of doing this and as a larger package is to ensure that we have to do less of that and that we're just more competitive and that everybody gets that benefit, not just a select few.
Yeah, and Representative, and I know you got to get going, but I hear from folks in Florida who've tested the waters in Arizona, but then they go to Texas, Florida, and I think we've gotten a little bit in the mushy middle in Arizona, where people are looking to relocate from high tax, overregulated states like California, for example, or New York, or wherever you pick them. Sometimes they are skipping Arizona, although we're growing tremendously, but they're looking at the tax advantages and the regulation advantages of some other states. So you're saying this may help if passed.
That's absolutely the case, and that's part of what we were looking at to make sure that is true.
Okay.
it makes us more competitive and it makes us more fair. And that should be something that all Republicans should be excited about.
Yeah, and finally, Representative Toma, is it hard to hold the everything together? You're 31-29 Republicans versus Democrats. Senate's 14-16 Republican majority. It is slim. What's it like right now trying to hold that all together? Sausage
making. Sure that I want to comment very directly on that right now. I would tell you that it's tough, but you know there are good people here, and it's tough. Yeah. I don't know what more to say.
Yeah.
Other than that is not, you know, the reality of it is every vote counts at this point, and you can be a coalition of one at this point to stop this tax package, for example.
True.
For moving forward. And so there's in every budget, and let me say this without getting myself into too much trouble. In every year we pass a budget and there are things in the budget that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
This year is no different. There are things in the budget that I don't like. And there are things in the budget that other members don't like. The reality of it is, it's always an exercise in finding what is it that you do like that you're willing to hold your nose or whatever analogy you want to use and vote yes on the budget. And the one thing as we started this conversation, I'll end it the same way. We have the opportunity to do something of such historic proportions that no other state has even contemplated a tax cut this big.
Yeah.
Think about just try to sell the idea of a 15% tax cut to the state budget, period.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's in 1 year ongoing, right? So it's so big that I'm willing to hold my nose on a lot of other things in the budget to make it work. And I hope that the fellow members of my party are willing to do the same in the end.
All right, Representative Toma. And it's going to be important, too, because on the federal side, we may be seeing tax increases.
Absolutely.
Yeah, to help offset that, it might get crazy. All right, Representative Toma, appreciate it. Good luck. Get some coffee and get a little rest because I know how these last couple of days can go for you. And wish you the best. And I'll take the tax cut if you can do it.
Thank you. Working on it. Thanks. We'll see you.
So I have to confess, I actually I did a little dumpster diving earlier today. I've never been one that's shy to jump in a dumpster. I don't know about you. If you've ever gone in, have you? What's the craziest thing you've ever dumpster dove for, or have you, or do you think that's gross? What would it take for you to dive into a dumpster? That's a good text one. Go ahead and get those in now, and I'll try to get them on. Probably be tomorrow at this point, but that'd be pretty cool to hear from you. You can text or call the Just Wireless listener line, 877-971-3971, 877-971-3971. I've done this a lot, though. My dad sent me a message. He knows I got a lot of fencing that I'm doing down in the Verde Valley, right? So, and the cost of lumber, it's gone up so much. We've covered this a lot on the program. Cost of lumber's gone up, including 2x4s and fencing material and all that. Everything. All construction material. So he called me. He said there's a like one of those pre-made fence things in the dumpster, you know, that you buy, like that's already assembled. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll come over there for that. And then there's a bunch of other ones, too, that were in there. Anyway, it was about, I don't know, $50. So, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I guess I will jump in. It wasn't much gross in there. I mean, it wasn't too bad. I will jump in the dumpster for $50. But it begs the question, though, who would throw $50 away? I guess they just didn't know. But it'd be like throwing a $50 bill in the dumpster. At least $50 for it is 1x6 fencing. Anyway, would you dumpster dive? Or what would you dumpster dive for? Or what have you retrieved from a dumpster? That'd be a good one. 877-971-3971. 3971 877-971-3971. You can go ahead and text those. It's also the comment line, which we will have open tomorrow with Bruce Sithinger. Olivia will be standing by tomorrow, and we're going to do tomorrow and Wednesday's the plan. Tomorrow with Bruce and Congressman Andy Biggs will be chiming in as well. And then on Wednesday with Mark Howitt. Okay, comment here. Let's get right to the line, 877-971-3971.
Hey, Jeff, this is Joe from Cottonwood. Listen, I listened to you last week, and I heard about, you know, your daughter, Isabel, graduating, and you sound like a very, you know, very proud papa, which is a great thing. And that's something that we're missing today in this world that we're living in, a family. And I've been saying this for as long as I can say. And it's just like when I was growing up, it's the same message. So I'm just very happy for you guys. It's not all gloom and doom all of the time. And I hope you had a great time. You, like a lot of other people in my life, are always in my prayers. So I just hope you have a great day. Take care. Bye.
Great comment, Joe. Thank you. And thoughts and prayers to you and yours as well. Yeah, it's I am. And if you weren't listening on Friday, I took off last Thursday. And we kind of had a rerun show because I was out at the graduation. My daughter graduated high school, and she's moving. My daughter Isabel, and she still does production work here on the show. And we'll try to see if that'll, you know, we can keep doing that. But she's going to have a different schedule next year because she is going on to college to Northern Arizona University. She actually got into the honors program, which I'm very proud of, and I'm really happy that she got a scholarship too. So maybe I don't have to dumpster dive as much. No, but she got a scholarship, so she's going to live on campus. So there's some expenses there, but I don't mind because she does really good at school, and she's, I don't know, something like 4.0 GPA going into there. And she wants to go into a field that requires the degree. And yeah, I've been critical of universities in the past, but if you go there with the intent of, hey, I'm getting this degree, and you find out what that is, and it can be a very good thing. I didn't do that route, but challenges either way. And I am proud of her, and I appreciate that, Joe, because I think we are missing that core family unit nowadays. And it's not to take away at all from all the folks that are out there that you know, are raising great kids, maybe with in a single parent environment or whatever the situation is. I mean, there's all kinds of situations out there, but I think there is a lot to say about the traditional family unit and having those people around you and the role models, the influences, whether it be from a father or from a mother. That's important. And I think it does make a huge difference in these kids' lives. And, so anyway, we had a great weekend and Joe, it was, you know, we celebrated with family and, it was pretty cool. So we'll see what happens next year with school, with my other kids. We're still working on that challenge and we'll see what route they take. I will say this, Joe, I had Owen out there. Remember, the dumpster diving, I had Owen out there. There were nails in this fencing, so I had him removing. They were more like large staples, which were really annoying. They're kind of hard to get out. So I had him out there, and I was just like, you pound away on it, pound it, get it. So trying to teach them that, and that work ethic as well is a constant battle that you just got to keep on them. It's hard. People got to learn how to work hard. I mean, of course, there's a level of work ethic in people already, and some are more apt to work harder than others, but there's still a lot that's learned, like, you know, how do you use a hammer? How do you work hard? What's an 8-hour, 10-hour, 12-hour, 16-hour day look like? That's stuff that's got to be taught along the way. If you missed the show on Friday, I just want to mention this. The vaccine passport failed. I don't know if you know, some people are off doing their thing on Fridays, but this vaccine passport failed to become law, meaning you cannot require vaccine passports in Arizona, meaning that businesses cannot, the state can't enforce and have vaccine passports. Right now, it's an executive order from the governor, which I don't like because the next governor can undo that. So I hope that the legislature will take this up next year again. Their session, if you were listening to Representative Ben Toma, last segment is probably going to end this week, and maybe we'll get a big tax break in this state and go to a flat tax. We shall see. But that's one big failure there. Not ending the executive emergency powers of the governor. I haven't seen that go anywhere yet. It doesn't look like that's making it. That's another big one. And I see that Congressman Paul Gosar, who I think will be on Thursday, he's going to be on Thursday, his proposed legislation on the federal side with co-sponsors to end the federal emergency. So we've got to do that. We've got to get back to regular order. I talked with Councilwoman Regina Salas last hour and asked her, hey, when are we going to get back to regular order for council meetings? A lot of councils have. A lot of county boards have. Prescott, we had the mayor of Prescott on recently. We talked about that. Mayor of Williams, John Moore, they allow people to go to their meetings. I can't go speak to my council member. Flagstaff needs to get back to it. She's saying, oh, maybe the end of the summer. I mean, geez, that long? Ridiculous. Okay, an email here. You can email talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Talkwithjeff@icloud.com. It's from Matt. Hey, Jeff, I work for a huge company that supports and services hospitality businesses. I'm finding that almost all of the folks that I service are looking to hire. What do you think needs to change for folks to get back to work? Yeah, good question. If I could wave a magic wand, if I was emperor for a day, I would end all the programs. You've got 4 weeks. I'd come out some kind of phase out, and I'm talking about the state unemployment, the federal unemployment, and as a side note, Governor Ducey did say that the federal unemployment, the extra, $300 a week, that is being phased out, and that's going to turn into a bonus, which I've got real problems for because people are being rewarded, and you know those that were in their jobs the whole time, they didn't get that. But anyway, a whole other story there. I would say that, first of all, you end the federal unemployment rapidly, and I think we're doing that by July 10th. You limit the state unemployment to a shorter period of time, 3 months or something. I'm not saying that there should be no safety net, no help, no anything like that. But it can't be indefinite. It can't go on for 6 months, 12 months, especially in an environment, as you're describing, Matt, that there are plenty of jobs out there, that there are people, every employer I talk to says the same thing that you're saying, Matt. I can't find workers. So much so that I've seen restaurant groups around the state, around the country, offering incentives for restaurant workers, for dishwashers, for cooks, for this and that. They're offering free college, things like that, community college. I've seen McDonald's around the country starting wages at $18 per hour. They're not doing that out of the kindness of their heart. They're doing that because the labor pool is so small because it is more beneficial. It is more economical to stay at home and collect unemployment. I've done the math. We did the math. So it's like you're making between the federal and the state, and that's in Arizona, which has one of the lowest state weekly unemployment rates in the nation. By the way, I think they're raising that to I don't know, $50 or something. It's like $240 a week right now. Anyway, we did the math between the state and the federal. You're actually making more, or at least the same amount of money, probably more if they figure the tax implications. I don't know if this is taxable income. I don't think so. But you're actually making more if you stay at home, or you're making the same. You're making $15 an hour to stay at home, or in Flagstaff, you make $15 to go work at wash dishes. What would you do, Matt? I mean, you'd probably go to work. I know. Some people will. A lot of people will. But a lot of people, I ain't going to go to work in a job I hate, washing dishes or whatever, for the same amount that I can get staying home. So Matt, long-winded here, you got to end it. You got to phase it out as quickly as possible, especially right now when there are jobs to be had out there and people can go get work. Do it right away. Get it over with. Peel that Band-Aid off. All right, folks, that's it for today. Thanks to Representative Toma. Thanks to Councilwoman Regina Salas. Really appreciate their time. If you missed any of those interviews, or if you want to go back and re-listen to anything, go to talkwithjeff.com. This will be podcast here in a little bit. And subscribe to the podcast. Please subscribe to it. Tomorrow on the program, we'll open up those lines. Olivia will be standing by, plus Bruce Sidlinger and Chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, Congressman Andy Biggs. Have a great, safe night, and we'll see you soon.